we begin a new siman Shulchan Aruch, which is really the beginning of a whole series of different halachas that appear in the seven. Most of them appear in the seventh parak of Chulin, where the Gemara is discussing situations where the regular din of bittul break down. We know what the regular din of bittul are in the Torah, of course, chad b'tir bato, chira matos, but every once in a while, the regular din of bittul don't apply. Why should we say the regular din? What led us to believe that the regular din of bittul don't apply? So there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Chulin, it speaks about if you have a tarobus of a gid anosha, a gid anosha that's mixed in with a bunch of other gidin. So now what do you do? So the Mishnah tackles it from two different vantage points. First, there's an issue we've seen as tam, that the gid anosha is emitting tam, so you have to reckon with harayz ibn asin tam. So that part of the Mishnah is tachash like halacha, because we pask in, there's no tam gid anosha, and gid asin tam. So we're not so worried about the tam. But there's still a behen. If I know I have a gidin usher here, or if I suspect I have a gidin usher here, so I have to make a cheshbon if it's going to be bottle or not. So the Mishnah says, depends. If you're able to see which is the gidin usher, I can tell which is which. So take it out, throw it out, and finish, and then just deal with the tam afterwards, if you assume you have to deal with the tam. But if ain't a makiro, if you don't know which one is the gidin usher, then you have a big, big problem. Then the Mishnah says, then everything's awesome. You have 100 gidin are all mixed up together. One of them is a gidin usher, you're in a big, big pickle. Everything is also. So he asked the Gemara, why is everything also? Well, the bottle berubah, so let it be bottle berayv. Why is this any different than two pieces of meat, two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of tray for meat? What happened to the bottle berayv? The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, berry is shining. The Gemara says, a bri, a berry, depending on where you come from. Berry is shining. The fact that a gid anosh is a berry, it's a creature, it's a unit or something, so somehow that changes the whole world, and the regular dinner of bittul break down. So in two words in the Gemara, berry is shining, you see a whole new story over here, a whole new limitation, which creates the whole simen kuf, miradeya, that whenever something is an entire creature, entire unit, so then somehow the regular dinner of bittul don't apply. The gid anosh being the example that the Gemara gives. Maybe other examples, but this is at least the example that the Gemara gives. So this has nothing to do with bittul tam anymore. We pass it that ain't begin of us in tam. This has to do with bittul ben. Bittul v'yavish b'yavish, chad v'trei, breaks down in the context of a berry. The question is, where in the world did this din come from? Whoever heard of such a din that berry is in a bottle based on what? Based on who? Chazal figured this out from. So there is a Tosfos in the beginning of Metziah, of all places, in Davav, spoke about the Salam and Shemachazim, where Tosfos implies that this is a real din midaraisa. Where does Tosfos talk about this Metziah Davav? The famous, famous sugya, hopefully we'll talk about this later on, the Gemara in Metziah Davav quotes a Mishnah, the end of Maseches Becheres, about a shah that takes place in Maisa Behema. You're counting out your animals, Hasiri HaKodesh, you do what you're supposed to do. All the animals are walking, Mavir, Tzon, Tachashifto, and you get the 10th one, you count Kodesh, another 10th, Kodesh, and you say, Kodesh, finished. And then, once an animal is already part of the count, it was already number 364, so then it's Potter, and it's never going to be Chalon, Hashem Mike said. If it wasn't the 10th one every time, which was called Minyan HaRoi, once it was already counted, so then it's Potter, finished. So what happens? I've got thousands and thousands of animals, and then one of my nikabub animals decides to enlist its friends behind, and it was already passed over the stick, and it was already the number 10, it was the number 8 on the list, and it's in the potter part of the pen, and now all of a sudden it runs back, it runs back, one of the animals that was already counted, kofet sochadir, goes and runs back into the with the uncounted animals. And now I have a real, real big problem with him, because I have 1,000 animals that have not yet been counted, which is still chayv in my sedema, and one has already been counted. So comes the Mishnah and says, kofetech v'mnuyim, l'socham, masadin, kulam p'turim. All the animals that are, it's a freebie, all the animals get a green light, and don't have to take off my sedema anymore this year. All the other animals are potter. So the Gemara says, wow, what kind of din is that? So the Gemara says, that's the din, it's a pasuk, asiri yakedesh l'ashem, asiri vadai, v'loy asiri sofei. That when there's any latest asafek, you're not sure whether you're chayv in my zman, you're potter. So I can't continue to count, because every time I'm going to count, there's always a chance that this may be the animal that was already potter. So I can't bring my zman in my safek. So that's it. So the whole mitzvah zman is lost for that year. Asiri yakodesh, asiri vadav, asiri safek. So come, all the Rishonim and the bottom of the kasha, and yeah, we look at Metziah, we spoke a lot about this. There are different ways of formulating the kasha. There are different ways of presenting the same problem, and invoking different nuances from your world of your Yeredeya. The basic kasha is, what happened to Raif? So what do you mean you have a serious vav, a serious son? Why is this a suffix? It's a Raif. Now, whether we mean to ask the question, we should follow Rome, whether we mean to ask the kasha, bittul b'raif, it's an epoch liyosateya. You can ask the kasha in a lot of different ways, and different Rishonim takas do formulate it in different ways, but we're not going to get into all those nuances, at least not for now. But Tesis presents part of the kasha is being it's a shot of bittul berois. What are you talking about? Taisa says you have 1,000 animals that are all chayiv in Ma'aseh Behemah. You have one silly animal that's sitting around that we can't figure out. All the animals look the same to us. There's one animal that's potter. So in fact, as a kasha, let it be bittul berois. And once it's bittul berois, it's no longer suffering anymore. But bittul berois works for everything. Why does bittul berois here? So Taisa starts to chisel away why the shuda should not be bittul berois. So Taisa draws our attention to a sugya later on, and it's kufyud. Maybe this is what's called the davish of a minion. A davish of a minion, it's a cute davish of a minion, because it's something that's counted. It's something that's always counted, so maybe that gives chashivas to it, and maybe that's not considered to be bottle. So again, hopefully we'll get to that at the end of your day, at the end of kufyud, the beginning of kufyud, when something is a davish of a minion, when it's not. So Taisa immediately ignores that and says, nah, come on, that's not the fact here. Because everybody knows that the whole chumrah of davish of minyan in a bottle, even it's machlag is whether it even exists, but even if such a concept exists, it's only midrabbanan. It's only chumrah midrabbanan. And we're dealing with deraisa. Ma'aseh Behemah is a mitzvah deraisa. So we're not going to say, you put the Ma'aseh Behemah because of a chumrah midrabbanan of davish of minyan, unlikely. So Taisa says, davish of minyan is not going to help the problem. So then Taisa says, a new solution. Maybe it's a barrier. Maybe an animal is like a whole unit. It's a whole creature. Madach, the Gidanosha is a barrier. This is our barrier. And we all know the Gemara says, a chulin, barrier and a betela. So Tosfos entertains that solution for a little while. Starts to think about it a little bit. And say, now, you know, if you go back to chulin and to makas, where the sugya is a barrier appear, you'll notice that an animal probably doesn't meet the criteria of barrier. There's some technical reason why an animal of Ma'aseh Behemah probably doesn't meet exact criteria that we have created based on other sugyas of what is a bear and what's not a bear. So this is probably not the way to go either. So stop. I don't want to know what the solution to the end. I don't care what the answer is right now. I want to know what Tosfos just attempted and just rejected. Tosfos has entertained the possibility of answering based on barrier and rejected it on the grounds that happens to fall short of the criteria of barrier. Even though Taisus 2 minutes earlier just told you that we're not looking for derabbanan solutions, we're looking for deraisa solutions. So the simple reading of the Taisus is that imtim tzalom would have been a barrier. That is not to be. But imtim tzalom would have been a barrier. Barrier in a betel is a real din with deraisa. That's what it sounds like from Taisus. So notwithstanding this Taisus, this is not the general consensus view. Nobody else sounds like this Taisus. I mean, unless you're learning from Matir Davav, you probably won't pop into this Taisus. In Shulchan Aruch, this is unheard of to say that barrier is not betela midiraisa. Everybody knows that barrier is only a chumah midirabbanan. Why did the Chacham institute it for? Based on what? What was the idea of instituting barrier? So the Ritva already gives you this story. The Ritva Masechta Purim fills you in the gaps. Why Chazal instituted this chumah? It says the Ritva, the notion of a barrier is not a concept that was made up by the Rabbanan. There is a concept midiraisa called barrier. In what areas of Halacha? Happens to also be in the realm of Machos HaSus, in the realm of Kashrus. There's a concept called the barrier. What's the concept of barrier? So we know there's Halacha Moshe Sinai. One is only Chayav Malchus and Ida Kazayas of Issa. Of Ida Kazayas Amatza, Ida Tzimitzuk, Sazkar, and Pesach, right? The Shira Achila, Stav Achila B'Kazayas. So comes the Mishnah, beginning of the third part of Malchus, and tells us that there's an exception to that rule. Let's say a person eats a whole barrier, eat a whole bug, eats a whole ant, a whole fly, a whole mosquito. So even though it's much less than a Kazayas, you're still Chayav Malchus. Stav Achila B'Kazayas. That's the halacha. A barrier is considered to be significant. What does that mean? What kind of halacha is that? So clearly what the Chazal are telling us is, this shear of kezayas, what's the nature of this shear of kezayas? Why is that the Torah says, if you take a little speck of chazi and achay malchus, but eat a kezayas, achay malchus, this is a way of measuring chashivos. This is a quantity as a barometer to measure chashivos. A kezayas is a shear chashivos in halacha. Sometimes what you're lacking in quantity, you can make up in quality. If you have something which is really choshev in and of itself, it's really significant, there's really something to it, there's real mamashas to it. I don't mean mamashas of Tom Kikin, there's real significance to it, even though in terms of actual numbers, in terms of measurement, you're lacking. But what you're lacking in quantity, you make up in terms of quality. And that's exactly what the din of Beri is all about in terms of being chai malchus. That's a din of deraisa, that notwithstanding the fact that there's a shiur, halacha moshe mesin of kezayas. But a berry is like the equivalent of a kezayis. It's like a chayav kol shehu. So comes the Ritva and says, you see from this din. Mm-hmm.
So the kezayis is going to be the right of the chazir, but the rabbanan is still up.
Who said they're right? I said, if you eat a kezayis of chazir chayav malchus, if you eat a kol shehu of chazir, you're over in this the right of chazir shia, but you're not chayav malchus. Mm-hmm. If you eat a whole bug, then you're chayav malchus.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So what the over chazir shia would be?
It's an overness, it's an Isra Malchus, right? This is the Isra Malchus. So comes the Ritva and says, what do you see from this whole presentation? That A beria is a Torah's understanding of chashivas. That is called a davar chashiv. A beria is called a davar chashiv. Let's take that the arisa take a concept and plug it into bittul isurim. We know that the whole idea of bittul is based on the fact, a davar batal, we've said this already several times, I think. Davar batal means that's not chashiv. By definition, it's not chashiv. That's what bittul always means. We find the principle of bittul in a few areas of halacha. There's bittul. Where else do we find the concept of bittul besides isurim? There's bittul chametz. What does bittul chametz mean? After the hour, you take a chametz and give it a kick. That dust is chametz. This is nishken pizza. This is dust of the earth. That's what bittul means. So it's a declaration of a lack of chashivas. Where else do we find bittul? The bittul of Arizora. This is an idol. Gosh, that's an idol giving kick, and this is nishken idol. Where else do we find bittul? Bittul Torah. What does bittul Torah mean? Instead of a guy sitting and learning, if you really believe the Torah is so chash, you'd be sitting and learning. What are you playing around on your cell phone for instead of sitting and learning? The Torah is because you don't believe the Torah is so chash. Whether you don't believe it or you don't act it out, the fact that you're doing other things instead of learning is that Raya Brewer, Torah is not so chashiv to you. So that's what Bittul Torah means. So that's what Bittul Yisur means also. That's why the Ritva says that Midda Raisa, how do you declare whether something is chashiv or not chashiv? Midda Raisa, if you have Rov, if Rov is one way and the Miyad is another way, remember the Ram is Lashiv. Never is to be able to mute, remember the Lashiv Ram. So Midda Raisa, Rov is enough. Okay, maybe Midda Rabbana, maybe Nichishiv, maybe Mina, the other. Comes the Ritva and says, and Chazal said, when something is intrinsically chashiv, and there's a real degree of chashivas present, so even though midaraisa, that's not enough of a chashivas to trigger a lack of bittul. Midaraisa, you have to really, really look hard to find, if you find at all, something that's not bittul. But the notion that there's a concept called the davar chashiv and the love of deraisa does exist, and therefore midarabban and deramisakan, called the tikkun rabbanik ain't deraisa tikkun. That they were misakin just as in a level of their isa, eating a kol shehu can be chayim malchus if it's an entire beria. To a dinami, a beria can't be bottle, not midaraisa, like Taisa Bamitzka. It's not bottle midirabanan, but it smacks of the din deraisa. It's ke'en of deraisa of chashivas. That's the insight from the Ritva. So this Ritva is basically accepted by Halacha and Shulchan Aruch. That's why in Simin Kuf, we assume the halacha that all sveikas in Sugis of beria are pretty much going to go lakula. Because the whole thing is a chumid rabban. According to Taisus, it would be a shalom, a suffix deraisa lechumra. According to the Ritva, it's all suffix deraban lechumra. Fine. But this Ritva is an eye opener for us, because this Ritva has now told us that the way to know whether something is a barrier or not, vis a vis bittul isurim, is really to look with your eyes to the din deraisa of pachas b'kashir. It's the same shir, it's the same halacha. One's a deraisa, one's a derabanan, but it's called tikkun rabbanan and deraisa tikkun. So when you want to go ahead and now get into the nitty gritty of defining what is a beria and what's not a beria, you're going to look to the model of Mishnah Maseches Machas, a bug. You're going to look to the model of Gidanoshes. You look to the models of Eivim Menachai. You look to sugyas that talk about the din of beria vis-a-vis the din of Pachas Mikazayas, and whatever the answer there is going to plug into here as well. So now we have a work cut out for us. Now we have to really define properly what is a beria and what is not a beria. So much of the discussion of the Rishonim revolves around the sugya in Maseches Chulin, the seventh parak, where the Gemara compares and contrasts two halachas. The Gemara says, what's the din if you have a very, very small bird? It's a tiny, little teeny bird, less than a kazayas. And you eat the whole bird. Swallow the whole bird, one shot, eat the whole bird. It happens to be that this bird wasn't kosher. So the Gemara says, well, the bird cannot be kosher for one of two reasons. Either the bird is not kosher because of its amin tamei. It's a little baby, hard to believe it's a baby ostrich, probably could be more than a kazayas. So we give a little baby, I don't know, it's a little tiny bird. A little hummingbird, how big is a hummingbird? Pretty small. Probably a baby hummingbird is probably less than a kazayas, depending on the size of kazayasim, okay? So you have to take your little hummingbird and put it on your kazayas chart for the matzah and see whether it's big enough. So it happens to be a full short. Is a hummingbird kosher? I have no idea. Okay, not kosher? I have no idea. Okay. I've done this, okay. So the odds are probably it's kosher, but whatever, let's assume it's straight. Because you have a little baby raven, falcon, something like that, okay? Eagle, is that the Nesher of the Gemara? We always think Hanfin the Sherb is an eagle, right? Don't we always think that? You know Taizen Chulin? You know Taizen Chulin about it? Taizen Chulin quotes that everyone, the Olam thinks that a Nesher is an eagle. I should go an eagle, he says, Aleph, Yud, Gimel, Lamed. Taizen says he's not so sure that it's an eagle. Because the Gemara describes the Nesher in terms of the Simanim of Tamei and the other Tereret of Chulin. So the Gemara describes an eagle in terms of not having the back toe or something. It only has three toes, two toes. I forget the whole Metzias. So the Gemara describes the eagle's foot in the Nesha's foot in a certain way, and Tyson writes it doesn't seem to match up with the way the foot of an eagle is today. So remember, when I was learning that sugya of Tyson Chulin, my chavrusa years ago. So he said Tyson is right. So how do you know what an eagle's foot looks like? So he yanked out a dollar bill on the back of dollar. Look at the dollar. The dollar. Yeah, I gave my last dollar bill for tzedakah this morning. Oh no, wait, I still got a dollar. Yeah, if you take a look on the back of a dollar, so on the back of the dollar, there's a picture of an eagle holding the arrows. Right? Over here? Picture of an eagle. You look at the back of your dollar bill? On the. What? Yeah, right here. Yeah. One right here. Picture here. I'm going to take this on Yom Tov. It's a really good picture. Torah Mazda. So the eagle is holding the arrows, and it's got three fingers in one direction. It's got that back, that clearly demarcated back toe, the back behind. You see what I mean? Behind the three fingers is a back finger. So if Tosis is not correct, so then that toe shouldn't really be there. So Tosis is right. Tosis didn't look at the dollar bill; they looked at the eagle, and they realized that that Nesher can't meet an eagle. Just in case anyone's interested. Okay, everybody, so getting back to the story. So what we talk about? Oh yeah, baby eagle. He's got a baby hummingbird. A baby little bird. It's less than a kazayah. So he wants to know if I eat the whole bird, mechay of malchus enough. So he wants to know, it depends. If it's like a treif bird, it's a min of tamei, then it's called a beria, and I'm going to be chay of malchus for it. If it's a kosher bird, it's a little baby chicken, a little baby turkey, little baby chicken, a little baby duck, a little baby kosher bird, pigeon or something, and it just wasn't shechted, it's nevela. Well, I'm not going to be chai of malchus for that. Then it's going to go back with the regular rules of more than kedash less than. You see clear from the Gemara that the issur of of tamei lends itself to the din of beria. The din of the vela doesn't lend itself to the din of beria. The question is why? What in the world is the connection between what's the difference between these two? Yeah, that's what nivus of tahor. That's what I'm contrasting. A guy eats a baby hummingbird. So that's, he's chayiv, he will suffer his eyes. Guy eats a killed, dead chicken that wasn't shechted, he's not going to be chayiv. The question is, what's the difference? What's the difference fundamentally, conceptually, between the Isra Nevela and the Isra of Of Tomei? Why does Of Tomei lend itself to the din of Beria and not a Nevela? So there's a major machlokes that we showed him what the answer to that question is. So Rashi says, because it's suffer his eyes. He had a little baby chicken.
Yeah, but
not going to be chayiv. Chayiv means Chayim Malchus. Okay? It's going to be Issa Derais Vilachim Malchus. Fine. So Rashi says, the answer is very simple. Rashi says that the Issa of the concept of Beria means it has to be something which is Nesar Mitchilas Briyasa. It has to be something that came into existence, its whole being, it's called Bria, Lashon Bor Alakim, Bracious Bor Alakim. Hashem Baruch Hu created this already in the state of Issa. Something that's created Biyasa, it's growing Biyasa, it's developing Biyasa, thus is a Beria. An isur that's chal at a later point in time, that's not considered to be a beria. That's Rashi's point. So Rashi says, now all the pieces of the puzzle seem to fit in. So Rashi says, the of tamei, from the moment, the first cell, the first moment when the of tamei begins to come into existence, it's growing biyasa, it's growing bitum, it's growing biyasa. Hashenki nevela, it's a chicken. If somebody would have just shechted it properly, I could have served it for Friday night dinner. The fact that somebody knocked it over the head, that's called an isur that was chal later, that wasn't b'shas t'chilas briyasa, and that doesn't have the ability to create a din of beria. That's Rashi. That's the difference between the two. Based on this, so now we can go back and look through a little bit some of the cases that appear in Chazal. What are some examples of things that are barriers in Chazal? And they all seem to match these criteria of Rashi. So one of the criteria, again, this main criteria, it has to be an ismet chizbriya. So what are some of the examples of things that are called barriers by Chazal? One was a gid hanosha, right, the bird, okay, the of tamei. One is gid hanosha, is definitely a barrier, right? Because again, the Gemara is using the term barrier here, which the Vos says is really the same sukkah. Yeah? There are a few other cases, the bug, right, the case of the bug is also a barrier. These all seem to fit nicely into the same idea. They're all examples of things which are nesar mitchilas brios. So far, so good. So comes Iran and says, but there's another example of something that probably should have made the mark, according to Rashi, and fall short. And what is that? Says the Ran, chaylev, the fat that's growing in an animal. So it's nesa mitchilas brio. So if I would take all the fat together of the animal, eat the whole thing, the whole beria, I take a whole, less than a kazayas, eat the whole thing, a little baby animal, put all the fat together, it's less than a kazayas, that should have also be called eating a beria. I ate the whole unit, the whole creature called the fat, just as I ate the whole gitarasha, just as I ate the whole bug, just as I ate the whole oftame. And says the Ran, lo shemana davazami alam. We never heard of such a thing. So says the Ran, no, no, no. The chalev is different because it's not a unit. You know why? It's not makubas b'makom echad, says the Ran. There's some chalev, it's a chalev asher l'kerev, it's a chalev asher l'hen. There's chal behen. There's chalev on the kidneys, and there's chalev over here, there's chalev over there. It's all there. It's not a berry. A berry is not just that it's nesem b'chilas b'riyos. Not just that he ate all of it, but it has to be one unit that's connected together. That's called a berry. So the Ran threw in this from left field. The Ran had a problem. He had to solve this problem based on something, because otherwise it's going to leave us high and dry in terms of chalev. Manishtana get from chalev. So the answer must be this new factor from him. So the Ran, Bidas Rashi, is collecting together a whole bunch of different reasons why something should or should not be a beria. So he says, number one, it's got to be Mitchilas Bria. So, and number two, it's got to be Mekubetz Yachar. A few factors together, that creates the shame of a beria. So comes Tosfos in a few places in Shas. Comes Tosfos in Maseches Chulin and Tosfos Maseches Makis. Wherever the sugars of Beria show up, Taisa says, they quote the same one, Chulin, and interpret it radically different. Comes Taisa and says, the reason why Nevela and Of Tomei part ways are not because of Tchilas Briyasa, not Tchilas Briyasa Tomei, that doesn't really matter. It's all a question of linguistics. It's all a question of, when the Torah said a certain Isser, what was the mashmos? What was the dictionary, the Torah dictionary definition of this particular Isser? When the Torah says, don't eat oftam, the Torah says, don't eat a duchifas, don't eat an ataleif, don't eat a sarah, doya, whatever you want to call it, don't eat the following bird. So, how do you define a bird? How do you define a duchifas? So, you look up your Wikipedia, duchifas, you see a picture of a whole duchifas, a whole bird. You wouldn't see as an illustration a half a piece of duchifas there. That wouldn't be called a duchifas. I don't pick that word. It's a hard one. You wouldn't call that an oftam. The definition of an oftam means the entire mean, the entire being. Does it make a difference whether it's a very, very big bird or a very, very little bird? No, it doesn't make a difference. But the definition of the word of a species, that's tome, is the entire creature. If you cut it in half, that's not called, I don't have a half of that bird. I have meat. I don't have a half of a bird. When it comes to the issue of nevela, nevela just means dead meat. That's what the word nevela means. Mamash means dead meat. Meat that wasn't shechted. Says Tosfos, you could call it nevela if you have a slice of dead meat, or you have a whole animal of dead meat. It's also called nevela. So there's nothing unique about the entity. There's nothing special in terms of the wording of the Torah about the unit of the animal. There's not chal on it, a shame unit of the animal. It's the meat shabai. So once it's the meat shabai, so the chashivas of beria doesn't exist anymore. So then the whole din of beria doesn't kick in. So Seth Tai says, it has nothing to do with whether it's nesem et chilas briyasa, not nesem, the whole thing doesn't matter. It has to do with, do we call it that item or not? If you had a half of a kazayas, if you had a half of this item, would you call it the item or not? If the answer is you would still call it the same item, there's no difference between, let's say you have two things on the board, two things on the table. You have a small piece of nevela and a big piece of nevela. Das is nevela and das is nevela. But if you have a bird, okay, you have a, what? If you have a whole bird on the table, and now you have a half a bird on the table, you wouldn't say, this is a bird. This is not a bird. B'chol, it's not a bird. It's not a half, it's not a bird. B'chol. So this, once the Torah formulates the issue of eating enough tamei as the bird, so then the size doesn't make a difference anymore. Then and only then does a bit of berry kick in. That's according to Tosfos Bia. So now, comes Tosfos and says, now we understand, like, chalev is not a problem, b'chol. Chalev, it's called chalev, no matter where it is. It's called chalev, whether it's a half a kazayas chalev, a whole kazayas chalev, more to say, it's all called chalev, it's all nikra shem chalev. Hashem came gid, so gid is a specific part of the body. It's called a gid. You have a half a gid, it's not a half a gid, it's a nothing. So since the Torah formulates the Yisrael v'yochlu b'nesos gid hanosha, it's called a gid in its entirety, ben gadol ben katan. Even if it's small, it's gonna be chay of malchus out the iser of achimas gid hanosha. So that's Tosfos Hagadolah. Yeah. I'm talking about being down on this particular year. It doesn't matter what happened pre 3,500 years ago. That's not going to concern us.
Why is not in this industry also?
Who says not?
Rashi, apparently.
Eved Menachai does count as a barrier. Oh, you mean, why do you say the Eved Menachai starts off the Yisra and then the Nevel is a continuation of that? That's part of the old story about it. The Nevel and Eved Menachai, the same kind of Yisra, not the same kind of Yisra. But even according to Rashi, who holds about Zikin, Miyisal Yisra, from Eved Menachai to Gilin Osha, so I'm not sure, from Eved Menachai to Nevel, I'm not sure that's going to work for this, for the definition of barrier. Tyson holds that the Yisra of Eved Menachai is a different Yisra of Gamre. It's nothing to do with the Yisra of Nevel. Therefore, you can't go from one Yisra to the next. Machlokes Rashi and Tyson, Shmuel and Abetz about the relationship between the Yisra of Eved Menachai and the Yisra of Nevel. Okay, but I'm not sure it's going to help with this. So then, if you eat a kazayis of it, you're going to be high for eating. According to Tosfos, if you eat an entire gira nosha, it's less than a kazayis, you're high malchus. That's the Gemara says that. If you eat either a kazayis of gira nosha, you're high malchus. If you eat an entire gira nosha, you're high malchus. If you eat less than that, then you're not going to be high malchus. So Tosfos explains a gira nosha is potentially subject to the din of beria, because it's something which is Nikra al-Shein, the entire unit. According to Rashi, Gidon Nosha is a barrier because it's something which is Nesem, it's Chilas Priyosa. Gidon
Nosha,
if you eat the entire Gid, if you eat less than it, you're not Chaya Machmas, you're over the Yisra Chatzishim. Okay? Fine. There is a possible other factor that may be thrown into this challenge in terms of whether something is necessary to be called a barrier or not, and that must the item be come from something which was actually alive? Is that a critical factor or not? Does it have to be something which is from a Baal Chai? Is that important or not? So why did that factor come in? So that starts with the Mishnah. That same Mishnah, the third Berachah Machas, talks about whether eating a bug is a variant. The Gemara says, Mishnah says it is. And the Mishnah contrasts that to eating a whole grain of Tevel. So you have something's growing there, Tzrol, so it's Tevel. And if a person eats kazayas, a tevel, so it's chayav malchus. If a person eats less than a kazayas, so the Mishnah raises the question, would he be chayav malchus based on the din of beria? If a person ate the whole unit, a whole grain, so would he be chayav malchus based on the din of beria? So the Mishnah draws a distinction and says, no, the Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah and says, no, there's a big difference between the two. The case of the bug is beris neshama, means the bug was alive, whereas the tevel wasn't alive. So therefore, since the Tevel wasn't alive, so that's not considered to be b'chlal a barrier. So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim, just how serious we take that line in the Gemara. So many of the Rishonim, the Ran and others, assume that the Gemara said it meant it really, really seriously. But that's another condition that has to be met. So you have to start adding so many conditions that have to be met. You have to make a whole checklist before you can call something a barrier. It's the whole item, it's beres the mitchilas briyaso, it's b'kubas b'chamechad, it's got to be beres the shama. It's got a lot of criteria that all have to be met to be called a barrier. And Tosfos, and again, leaving out of the Shachmatai right now, Tosfos says that line in the Gemara Takvah Shalakei Halacha. The Chachamim used that line as part of a negating of a machlokes they were having with the Bishimon about some technical details about Chatzishia. So therefore, the Rabbanim threw out that line. But in the end of the day, Tosfos writes that wasn't really emes. The Gemara never really meant that line is actually binding, and therefore Tosfos argues that condition really doesn't exist. So that's a whole another quirk to get thrown into the sugya. Again, this machlokes that we share in Rashi and Tosfos in the Ran, all the different Rishonim, different ideas of when something is a bear and when it's not a bear. According to Rashi, the primary criteria are that it has to be b'chilas b'riyah. So according to Tosfos, the primary criteria is that it has to be something which is vocabulary, definition of the Torah, considered to be a unit. That's the nature of the Yisr. That machlokes Rishonim was said in the original sugi. It was said in the sugi of Chatzishia getting malchus or not. We're borrowing everything that Rishonim said and plugging it into Yerodeh Simon Kuf. We're plugging it in like the Ritva said on the level of the Rabbanon. Because whatever the details of what constitutes a barrier in Hilchas Chatzishia are going to carry over to the Din Derabbanan of not being bought. Okay? So if you open up Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mekuf, so Shulchan Aruch starts to tell you the different Kvalim. He quotes you the Rashi, the Ran, he quotes you all the different possible criteria that may or may not determine whether something is a barrier. But, so let's assume for now we have a barrier. We finished, we got a barrier, we have Rashi's barrier, we got Tzitz, we have some kind of a barrier here. Now what? Where do we go with this barrier? So we know for a fact that Bittul Baruba is not going to work. That's for sure. Because the Gemara asked the Kasha, the Liftal Baruba, that was the Gemara's Kasha by the Gidon Osher. Gidon Osher is for sure a barrier, being the Rashi, being the Tosfos, the Liftal Baruba, and for the Gemara, barrier shiny. So it's those four words that became the whole Simon Kuf. All Simon Kuf is based on those four words. From the Kasha, the Gemara, the Beruba, the Ber Yishai. So what conclusion should we draw from this Gemara? So the conclusion is clear. Bittul Barov is not going to work. Is there any point where it is Batel? Now that's a tough question, because we do know that there are other areas in Halacha that Bittul Barov doesn't work, but other Shiurim are available for us. What are some of the other examples where we know other Shiurim besides Bittul Barov? I mean, Bittul B'Shishim that we know. Okay, that's maybe Tam-oriented. Bittul B'Wa? Bittul B'Meya for Truma, Bittul for 200 for Oli Kili HaKerem. Is there a number out there? Is there any number out that we could possibly connect to that could be a magic number that may even work in the realm of Beria? Does such a thing exist or not? So the Pashtus and the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim assume, many of the Rishonim assume, no, there's no such number. There never was, there never is, there's no such number. We can even plug in a term that appears in the Gemara in other cases called Afilu B'Elef Lo Batel. Now we've seen that cloud before. Where do we find Afilu B'Elef Lo Batel? Where's the famous phrase Afilu B'Elef Lo Batel? Dover Shech Shematina Afilu B'Elef Lo Batel. Anywhere else? Dover what? Chadigul is Kabi, because the Gemara links that to Dover Shev Minyan. Dover Shev Minyan, the Gemara says, Beit Afilu B'Elef Lo Batel. So there are things out there that when we say Rov doesn't work, nothing works. And there are other things out there when Rov doesn't work, but other things are able to save the day. So the Pasha Dvarim is we don't have any Gemara, we don't have any numbers that are given to us anywhere to indicate that there's any magic number past Rov. So we have to assume, most of the Shurim assume, it's not a not bottle. So the Vachoshim, it's not bottle, finished. And it's like a Dovashish material, it's like a Dovashish minion, it's like a Chtichu Skabe, finished, it's done. But there are some Rishonim with this. There are some Rishonim will say, there is a magic number. There is a certain number you reach where Bittul may be effective even for a Beria. And what is that magic number? The magic number is 960. Where did that come from? Came from a Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about some kind of a shear of 960, a bim bevatel, something to do with treifa fish. I'm not sure exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. Something to do with treifa fish. So comes the Rash in the Sperish Mishnah and says, I'll tell you exactly what this number is. This is the number for bittel of a beria. There's no Gemara about it. It's a Mishnah. This is the number for a beria. What does that have to do with treifa fish? A treifa fish. It's a chalabash beria. You have a treifa fish gets mixed up with a lot of kosher fish. And your mamash can't tell. It's hard to tell. And the tuna fish looks like the dolphin. Now you can't tell. Treifa, I don't know. I'm not sure what's getting mixed up with what. But you can't tell. You can't tell. Now gevalt. I know I got a beria in there. Treifa fish is a classic example of a beria. It's nesar v'chilas briyoso. Right, it's got Tosa's definition, like an oftome. It's got all the makings of a beria. So comes the Rash, and Pesach Mishnayis, and Truma says that's exactly what we're just talking about. 960 times. That tome is never bought, though, until you reach 960. Where in the world does magic number come from? You got to really use your creativity. So who saw the number? Do your math. It's 60 times 10. And then you have to do 60 times 6 for some deep, dark, secret reason. Why? You have to add those two things. It's almost like gematria. You have to add 600, 60 times 10, plus 60 times 6. You have to get 960. Why anyone would do this kind of math, I have no idea. But that's the shear that the Rash claims. So the Rash quotes the Rash and agrees with him. Usually the Rash quotes the Rash and disagrees with him. Here he agrees with him. Then he disagrees, right? No, the Rash. The Rash disagrees. So the Rashba quotes the Rash. I'm sorry. The Rash always quotes the Rash and disagrees. The Rashba quotes this. The Rashba says that this is right. This is not right. This is the magic number, and based on this, we can now begin to comprehend a very, very difficult statement of Rishami, a very cryptic Rishami. You know what the Rishami says? Hora Rabbi Yosi, and what's the Rishami? The Achbara. Rabbi Yosi had kapaskin the shayla ba'achbara, and he was mishar ba'achbara with the magic number of 960. Hey, Rabbi Yosi ba'achbara. What's this achbara? Everyone knows what achbara is. A mouse. A mouse got mixed in with other things, and a mouse is really, really bad for bittul yisurim. Why? Because it's a beria. It's got all the makings of a beria. It's like an oaf tummy. It's like a dog tummy. It's an achbar tummy. All achbar matummy. So you got the achbar, that's also, that's trait, gets mixed up with a whole bunch of other things. And gevalt, Rabbi Yosi had a big problem. He kept mishab b'roid. Chad b'trei is botlam in a tarib, not midrabanan. So you had to add on more and more, not literally add on, but had to get to the point where, oh, Baruch Hashem, there were 960 times connected to the achbar. Baruch Hashem, it could be the sigh of relief. It could be botlam. That's what it means. Her Rabbi Yosi b'achbar. Who quotes this? And the Rosh says what? What does the Rosh say? What? Comes the Rosh. Comes the Rosh and says, this is bechlal in Ol Adas. That's what happened. He said, first of all, the word Achbara doesn't mean a mouse. It means a mouse town. It means it was a mouseville. That was the name of the town. They called it Achbara. Doesn't say that he was Paskei Shana a mouse. Second of all, the Rosh said, how can he Paskei Shana on Bittel of a berry of a mouse with 960? Give me the case example. I understand. So the Rosh, is the mouse intact? If the mouse is a whole mouse, you can't see a mouse. What's it mixed up with exactly? What else looks like a mouse? You have a mouse mixed up with potatoes. What's it mixed up with? Pieces of meat. What's it mixed up with? If it's bad, you take it out and throw it out and finish. Elowat. The only way to say that the mouse got mixed up is to say that it got broken up into little pieces. Guess what? If it's broken up into little pieces, it's not a what? It's a barrier. Resectation of the mold. It's not called a barrier anymore. It's only called a barrier anymore. Maka says, but it's a whole unit. The bishlam if I get a nosha, I can understand. You ever see a get a nosha? Anyone ever saw a get a nosha? Does it look the same as all the other nerves and anything else in the animal? Yeah. What?
Pretty similar.
So I can understand. I don't know too much. I'm not a veterinarian. If I had 100 nerves and sinews on my table, so I would have no idea which is the gidonosha, which is not a gidonosha. But by a mouse, I mean, come on, who doesn't know what a mouse looks like? So El, the mouse is broken up. It's broken up. It's Nishkin Berry altogether. So Rush says the whole pshat doesn't make any sense. So what does the number mean, 960? So what is the Mishnah is talking about? So he says, the whole Rosh, the whole thing is wrong. It's not talking about the bittle of anything but end. The dog tummy is a berry. A berry is in a betela. If it's intact, it's never bottle. If it's not intact, it's always bottle. So what's the Mishnah talking about? It's talking about the time of the dog tummy. Time of the dog tummy, 960 times. I thought we learned that Shishim is enough. What's the answer, everybody say? Shishim is not an end all. Shishim works 99% of the time. When you have Shishim, you can safely assume that there's no tummy. We've already learned. Remember, we learned back a while ago. What if you have shishim and you thought everything was great and then you taste it and say, that tastes like something treif. So what's the din? It's also, who remembers? No? Is that a din derais, a din derabban? Who remembers? The Yisrael Heter and the Ran, right? Remember, that's all machlokes. But it's also, we assume it's also. It's like a milstav hidl of time, but if it mamish tastes, it tastes. So if you have a really, really, really sharp tasting, a real geschmack, a herring, you know, one of these really, really, you know, Hamish herrings, that you can taste it a mile away. So you can taste it even though it's mixed up with 959 other things. It's still going to taste bad if it's a treif herring. Treif fish. So that's going to be a problem. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about, says the Rosh. It's not even talking about achpers. We're not talking about mice. We're not talking about treif fish. And we're talking about tom. A little bit of treif fish's juice mixed into my big, big pot of food. And it's such a strong taste that I can still discern up to 960. 960 ready. It's an overbottle holidays. We have a major machlokes in the Gedolei Rishonim. Is there any cutoff point in terms of the sugya berries? At any point where we're comfortable to say it's already bottled, even the sugya berries? No, it makes much more sense. 960 means Chazal measured and said the most sharpest, most horrible tasting fish if the 960 is bottled. Again, according to the others, it's a very arbitrary number. Adding up numbers. How do we pass in the halacha? So in Shulchan Aruch we assume mechumra. We assume like most of the Rishonim mechumra. That's not going to be bottled. Nevertheless, there was some acharonim who wanted to bring back this Rashi, bring back the achbaras of Rabbi Yossi's Rishamis halacha, and they wanted to bring it back vis-a-vis the most serious problem of berry that we have today. That's the issue of bugs. Remember, we have two din of berry. There's one din yichayev malchus that doesn't interest us too much because chatz is us better anyway. But the more serious halacha, Lamai says that bittel is not going to work. What would the din be as follows? I have a bug. I know there's a bug in here. I know for a fact there's a bug in here. And the bug is all mixed up in my food. I have a bug that's in my cholent. I can't find the bug. I have no idea. I'm looking high and dry. I can't find the bug. I know it's here. I know the bug is intact. It's a full, complete bug. So normally when something is made up of end, it's bottle the right, finish. Come on. No, not so fast. Because it's a barrier. And a barrier and a potato. And a bug, if a bug ain't a barrier, then nothing's a barrier. That's what the Mishnah Bakas, the Prayer Bakas says. Of course a bug is a barrier. It's a barrier with their eyes for malchus, and if it's a barrier with their abundance for inability to be vavatlant. So the Pashas Advarim is that any time I have a whole bug in anywhere, I got a big problem. I can't see it. I didn't say I can't see because it's too small to be seen to the naked eye. That I didn't say. I'm talking about it's visible. It's just not visible to me because it's mixed in with my whole my other broccoli. It's mixed in with all my chomp. It's mixed in with all my this. It's mixed into my water. It's mixed into my, I don't know wherever it is. It's mixed in, but it's still a barrier. It's still an intact piece. So according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's done. You finished. It's in a bottle. In a bottle. Klal. So comes the Rebbe Yonasan Eibershitz in a crazy place. He wants to love his cousin Klal Yisrael. He says, you know, a lot of people are eating all kinds of foods with bugs in them. He says, you know, if you look at some of the flour, especially in the warm seasons, you're going to find a bug every once in a while in the flour. People aren't sifting the flour as good as they should, and people are baking the bread anyway with the flour in it. And he says, and now what? How can we love its chosen Klal Yisrael? So says a crazy place. Well, maybe according to the Rash, maybe it's okay. Why? Because how big is the bug? It's not a tremendous, you know, a tremendous bug. It's a little tiny bug. You can barely see it. And it's baked into a whole challah. So how many bugs? You have 2-3 bugs in the whole challah. You're looking for, you can't even see it anymore. It's tucked in between the pieces of the challah. It's all stuck. Even though it's intact. It is intact. You go looking for it, you maybe find it. But mice, I can't see it. I don't see it. So it's bottle, says the Biyosan Abishas. According to the Rash, it's bottle. There's no bitter for berry. It's not true. There is bitter for berry, 960. So that's a limit chus and klai. Those who are eating foods which have bugs in them, even though the bugs are barriers, they're not broken up, it's still going to be mutter according to the Shittas Rash. You know, it's a nice limit chus, but lemais in Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted. Not only is it not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but in Shulchan Aruch speaks about bugs being the classic barrier. Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rishonim that bugs are considered to be a barrier. We assume that is considered to be a problem.
Well,
there's no time. The bugs are not giving off any times anyway. The bugs. When we get to another time of Gamal, we'll get to that.
But,
but at least the bugs. So it's a limit chos, but you know, it's a halfway limit chos. What? There's no time anyway because it's all doesn't time of gum. What am I cutting? Bugs in
it.
Oh, you have to throw out a piece in it.
It's like this.
That's machlokes b'yavish when it's still nikar. Here, this is like a lach b'lach. The bug was mixed into the dough. It was all that was all lach b'lach already. Kemach b'kemach is like lach b'lach. Yeah, kemach is like lach b'lach. Yeah. Yeah, that means when each piece is still discerned, I can see this is mamash a piece. This may be the tray for piece. So some mishum of a chumi have to throw out a piece. But this is lach b'lach. Kemach to kemach is the ferish. It's called lach b'lach.
If it's the beer, then it's not lach b'lach, right?
No, I don't mean literally lach b'lach. It's the equivalent. It's not yavish b'yavish. Yavish b'yavish means when each one is still. I could point to this piece of meat, I could point to this piece of meat, I could point to that piece of meat, I just don't know which is which. That's called Yavish B'Yavish. There, some Rishonim say, have to throw out a piece. Here, I can't point to anything. I have no idea where anything is. That's like Lach B'Lach. Okay?
And also, didn't the Taz talk about Chanan by Yerya, because the argument is Shachman over there?
But there are some Rishonim who say that bugs are Nosen Tam Mishrach. We'll have to get to that later on. But we have many guys, we're pretty make on this. Yeah, but we hold that there's no machine as time to fall by bugs. So even though, as long as I take the bug out, let's say I cook something, a food, which has 1,000 bugs in it, so it's got time of bugs all over the place, but if I can sift out every bug, so we hold you can eat the rest of the food. That's a chashverish in Haman, right? You can get rid of the bug, I don't even melech, right? That's what the Gemara Megillah says. That Haman says, ta chashverish, tasem shonos b'kalam. He says, if a fly falls into the wine, so they just take the fly out, except on Shabbos, a little bit of what? They take the fly out, they drink it. Adoni HaMelech, if you touch the wine, they'll throw it out. So that was Haman's tain against Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says that everything Haman said was right. The Gemara says, no one knew how to say Lashon Hara as well as Haman. Everything he said was emes lamitai. He was still very damaging, but it was emes. He was right. He learned your day. He did very well. Okay, anyway, advice I get back to this story. So we need some more limitzchosis. We need some better limitzchosis. Yeah.
Does it help if the bug falls apart later on? Marshall, if when you bake it, I don't know the Matthias, but I imagine maybe the bug cracks.
Oh, so if it cracks, that would be great. You want to know, is that called Ein Vatnes L'Chadchila? Because I knew full well that I'm cracking a bug in there, so we have to go back to some Ein Vatnes L'Chadchila. So let's just wait for a second, back to the bugs for a second, okay? So do we have any other limitzchosis? So the Mishkas Yaakov, the Talmud from Chaim Elozha, he comes up with another possible limitzchos for the bugs. He says, you know, going back to the beginning of the subject, he says this whole barrier story, where did this whole barrier story come from? It all came from Chashivos, Tzadav HaChoshuv, that's the whole yisoid of barrier. He says, come on, the Gemara is talking about when you have a Gidanosha, one Gidanosha mixed in with five other Gidim, well, Gidanosha, a good piece of meat, a real shtak, a piece of sinew, you can really get a real, it doesn't taste too good anyway, but you can get something, that's a real something, it's a chavtza or something. A guy's got a bag of flour, and you tell him he's got a couple of five little bugs inside. This guy is machshiv those bugs. He would be more than happy if these bugs weren't there in the first place. Except he's too lazy. He doesn't want to go sip this flour for the next 20 years. So he doesn't want to check his broccoli. He doesn't want the bugs. That's why he's buying the broccoli. He's buying the non-Vodic broccoli because he wants to get those added bile getting the bugs in there. He'd be more happy if there were no bugs before. So comes Mishkan Yaakov and says, how can you say about this as a double choshev? How can you call a bug like that? The Mishnah Machas is talking about a guy who's eating a fried ant or something. He's eating a fancy candied ant or something. So that's the Ochel Nemola Kolshu Yitzchayim Malchus. A bug that a guy mamish couldn't care less about, that's a double choshev? Can't be. That undermines the whole principle there. Very is based on Cheshivas is Nishkin Cheshivas. It's Kaval Kakula. So both of these limits chusim are fascinating, except they're both against the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the favorite from the Rishonim that if a person has a soup and they found a couple of bugs in there, so if you only found one bug in your soup, all right, you can assume one bug was a Yetzim Echal. You find two, Yetzim Echal. You find three, now it's a Chazoka, that there are bugs in there. And you got to start sifting out the soup. You got to take the whole thing apart. You can't eat the soup. It's chusim betaloim. It's a disaster. It's a big, big, big pot of soup. And maybe there are a couple of little bugs there. I don't really see them. I'm looking around. I don't really see them. What do I have to go sift the soup for? For what? He said, according to the Rashi, it should be bottled in 960. According to Rabbi Yosef and Ibish, it says we can rely on the Rashi. According to the Mishkesh Yaakov, the guy doesn't want bugs. He didn't put bugs in his soup on purpose. So we should say the whole Devil Choshev, a barrier doesn't apply. So the interesting Svar is to dig up the Rash, to dig up the Svar of the Mishkesh Yaakov, the mice, the Shekhanach, they don't appear. So the Shekhanach, Ramah, Shachtaz, the classic, these are all Limit Chosim. These are not conventional wisdom. So the Limit Chosim for those who are not checking their flour so well. But Lechat Chila, we should try to follow what says the Shekhanach. We should assume that if and when there's a real barrier there, then we have a problem. A barrier is not in a Bekela. Which of course touches on the next issue: do we really have barriers or not? Are there real barriers in the food that we're eating? So we will talk about this a little bit. Enjoy your food for the next couple of days, and then we'll try to figure out whether there are real barriers. Whether we have barriers.